Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Bactiguard Q1 report for 2018. Today, I'm pleased to present the CEO, Christian Kinch, and the CFO, Cecilia Edström. For the first part of this call, all participants will be in listen-only mode, and afterwards, there will be a question and answer session. Speakers, please begin.
Hello, everyone. I'm Christian Kinch, CEO of Bactiguard. We will now be referring to the presentation of the Q1 report that you can find on our website. By those words, I would like to kick off, and let's start by turning to page two and look at the quarter in highlights, what has happened. First of all, when we look at the numbers, it's quite obvious that we are down compared to last year. You may think that this is something that we are disappointed about, but when we dig into these numbers, we're actually not, and we will guide you through these numbers during the call. So looking at the facts, revenues were down about 20% compared to last year. But given also yesterday's press release that we will come back to regarding Smartwise, during this call, I would like to address your focus to the following fact. Last year, our quarter was affected by basically $1 million from the license deal we did with Smartwise. So if we take that away, the quarter is actually in line with last year, which is okay for us. Turning to the second bullet, we are happy, and we are smiling, and we are actually proud to see that we, for the 10th consecutive quarter on a rolling 12, are growing our own portfolio, the BIP, Bactiguard Infection Protection sales. That is what we can affect ourselves, as well as license revenue that I will come back to. If we look at the license revenue coming from Bard, now referred to as BD or Becton Dickinson, it's somewhat down during the quarter. But I'm happy to say that the underlying sales within Bard is consistent, so we're not seeing any changes here, and that is of great appreciation for us. We will always see some lumpiness in these kind of revenue streams, so this is not to be so much concerned about. Of course, goes without saying, this is then affecting our EBITDA margin, coming down to 6% for the quarter. When we look at the cash flow, yes, it's negative, but we need to again focus on some facts here. It is due to higher BIP sales and outstanding license payments that has now been recovered during Q2. So all in all, our cash flow situation is more than satisfactory, and we're very happy about that. During the quarter, we had some major deliveries to China. We're very pleased to see that market continue to grow and becoming our utmost important market so far. India caught up extremely positive during the first quarter, and the Middle East continues to be one of our top three regions in the world. If we turn to Sweden, we also got an extended agreement or upfunding with Skåne. So now, as just reminding us all, we are in tenders with Stockholm, Gothenburg from May this year, and Skåne as well. So that covers more than 70% of the Swedish market. We did sign two new agreements. It's from the Benelux in the quarter, and then we just had very happy to announce Mexico and the private-owned Degasa family company as our partner since Friday. License business, though, as you see, becomes of great importance to us. We need to grow our BIP sales and our license deals. We did see a very positive deal yesterday from Smartwise. I will come back to that through Cecilia later on, but I would like to state already here that we are continuing to drive our license portfolio, and we are in negotiations with several partners, and we are looking forward to come back to you later on during the year with new deals in this matter. Then last but not least, we have a newly proposed chairman to the board, Jan Ståhlberg, who we are looking forward to invite to our annual shareholders meeting later on in May. And Jan, as you are aware of, has also become a major shareholder in Bactiguard.
Christian, I think you need to repeat what you said on item two, because there was some interruption on the line when you were talking about the BIP sales. If you could repeat that
again.
Okay,
happy to. So, as I was saying regarding BIP sales, we are very pleased and we are smiling about seeing the 10th consecutive quarter with growing BIP sales. That's our own portfolio, the Bactiguard Infection Protection portfolio. And we grew during the quarter from 2.8 million SEK, and this is, of course, something that we are extremely happy about to follow and monitor this development. And this is, of course, the one part that we can affect, as well as new license business. The deal we have with C.R. Bard, now BD, is something we cannot affect, and it is a tendency to be lumpy in between the quarter, but the overall and the underlying sales of our partner BD in the U.S. and Japan is consistent. So, having repeated those words, I would like you all to turn to the third page and looking at our area. As always in our quarterly reports, we like to highlight and guide you as investors in the area where we are operating. So, healthcare-associated infection, hospital-acquired infections, whatever you would like to call it, is in the worldwide, it's a great challenge. Here, we see that one out of every 10th patient seeking healthcare in a hospital will be affected by hospital-acquired infections. It's the same in Sweden. And just break it out now in Sweden. We are talking about some 60,000 to 70,000 patients per year being affected by this. And this blocks an extra 750,000 hospital days to a cost of 6.5 billion SEK. Here we know from our health authorities that we should be able to prevent at least 30% of these extra cost, and annually 1,500 people dies from these infections in Sweden alone. Let's turn to the next page. It's looking at the media from Sweden, just giving you a few snapshots what's happening with these types of infections. We see it every day. It's resistant bacteria, it's vancomycin resistance enterococcus appearing in Sweden. Why do we focus so much about this? Because these infections turn to the next page. They spread in between our Swedish hospitals. And this is very, very severe. If you look at page number five, we see that the spread of resistant bacteria is now occurring between Swedish hospitals. This is a report from Folkhälsomyndigheten, or the Public Health Authority, stating basically one thing. We need to start acting in a preventive measurement. And just so we understand what we are talking about when we say VRE, that's vancomycin-resistant enterococcus. This is a very severe antibiotic that you take into account when you are facing a very severe infection. If you then have resistant bacteria, you are out of ammunition, and the doctor would basically tell you, I cannot give you anything. So let's focus on the next page. Here, now just tracing what happened in Sweden in December. It was an outbreak of VRE infections. It started here, actually close to us, which is a little bit ironic, at Huddinge sjukhus, about 500 meters away from where I'm sitting. It spread from Huddinge to Umeå, to Nyköping, to Örebro. Why is this so critical? It's because we started off low, and now we're seeing some 150 patients affected that are basically facing an untreatable infection where we have no medicine to provide. And this is only within the last 4 months. Let's go to the next patient. To the next page. So, what to do? Here we're just referring to what WHO is saying, and I like to quote them. Every infection prevented is an antibiotic treatment avoided. we need to realize that prevention is better than cure. And I cannot find a better word to summarize what Bactiguard is all about than that line. Bactiguard is here to assist the healthcare system to prevent these infections from arising, to be able to provide a more safe and efficient healthcare environment where people are safe. So with that introduction, I would like to hand over to our CFO, Cecilia, and guide us through what took place during the quarter. Please, Cecilia.
Thanks, Christian. Homing in on the markets where we are very pleased that we are expanding sales and preventing more patients from infections and saving lives potentially as well. If we home in on China, you will have seen that we made a major new major delivery in the quarter, and market activities there are ongoing at a very high level of intensity, but you could say that that's nothing new from last quarter. What is new, though, is India, where we have made substantial deliveries in Q1, both of Foley catheters and central venous catheters, and where our new distributor, Neon, covering three parts of the country, the north, the west, and the east, are very proactive and receive a lot of good feedback from the ICUs. What happened in this quarter also is that we finally completed the recruitment of patients for the clinical trial that involves 1,000 patients at 6 different sites, and we are very eager to receive the results towards the end of this quarter so that we could start making publications from it and use it as a marketing tool to spread even further into the country. Middle East started rebounding last year, had a strong year, but it's continuing to grow. And it's mainly the major markets driving the growth, but also smaller markets like Kuwait generate substantial sales. And we are eager to get going in Egypt, where the registration process has been extended, but we now see that we are approaching the final stages. You may have seen, if we look at Latin America, that we signed up a new distributor, a major distributor with good national coverage. So in that region, we will be very focused, focusing on Brazil and focusing on driving sales in Mexico before expanding elsewhere. In Europe, I think the most positive news is that we are making headway in Sweden. We are definitely making headway in Sweden based on the tenders that we've won in Stockholm and also in Skåne, which are both generating increased sales. The tender for Västra Götaland has unfortunately been somewhat delayed because it's been questioned in other areas than ours. And the way the system works, they don't really know what to do, whether to launch a new tender or whether to go ahead with this one. We have a new distributor for the Benelux countries. We are working on adding in new markets. The big ones, to find the right distributors there. And at the same time, the markets we entered a couple of years ago, like Poland, Greece, and Austria, are actually generating quite good sales. So we are positively looking forward to the rest of 2018 in this area. If we move to page 9, the licensing business, you will all know that CRBAD was acquired by BD, Becton Dickinson, at the end of last year. This is nothing that affects our relationship. It continues as usual in the area of Foley's for the US and Japan and UK. We have seen a somewhat downward trend in, or not a trend, but it was sales were a bit down in the first quarter, but they tend to be a bit erratic between quarters. However, what we do see is that royalties, which is the revenue we receive when products are actually sold in the market, is holding up very well. So there is no alarm in the end customer demand. It's just that orders for concentrate, which they use to coat the catheters, is a bit irregular and follows no seasonal pattern. Orthopedic implants, which is referred to here as Vigilance Medical Devices, is a project we have been working on for a couple of years. where we are now, as we see it, approaching the final stages ahead of the CE registration, which means that we can then, or our partner can then, start selling these implants in the Southeast Asian market, referred to as the ASEAN market. So we're aiming to get that cleared as soon as possible, early in 2018. We've said before, we still expect to receive it sometime before the summer or before half year end, but it remains to be seen because we can't control the regulatory authority, but that's our ambition. And this CE mark will also open up new possibilities in orthopedic implants in other application areas and in other geographies. Then, SmartWise. Yesterday, as late as yesterday, a new deal was announced between SmartWise and their sister company, Procera Therapeutics, with AstraZeneca. And this is a major breakthrough, we see it, for the treatment of cancer and cardiovascular disease. I'll come back to that a little later. We also have several ongoing discussions, and if we home in on the specific areas, it's initially orthopedic implants in the area as we are running a project there, and also vascular access products, where we see the benefits of the infection control of our products, but also the fact that we lower the risk of thrombosis. We turn to page 10. You see an overview of the SmartWise agreement that we signed in February of last year, which is covering advanced Bactiguard-coated vascular injection catheters. So what is that? It is catheters about the width of a human hair, where you can enter through the groin and maneuver the catheter to the big and remote sensitive organs of the body, and, for example, deliver high-dose chemotherapy or cells to damaged heart tissue. Now, our coating there reduces the risk of infection, of course, but it also, as I mentioned earlier, lowers the risk of thrombosis, which is a very, very severe condition in critically ill patients. Last year, we booked revenues of 2.5 million for the exclusive right to our technology in this application. And this year, in the second quarter, which you won't be able then to see in this report, received the final outstanding receivable of $1.25 million. Over time, this will generate royalty revenues, but the products have to be CE marked first and made commercially available. So you could say, for us, for Bactiguard, it's a small step, but it is, as we see it, a major step towards finding new and pioneering ways of treating some of the most common and serious diseases, cardiovascular disease and cancer. Then, moving on to the financials, on page 11, you could see what we've been referring to, the 10 consecutive quarters of growth. And if you look back at 2015, which is really when the growth started taking off, we've had a combined aggregate growth of 21%. Turning to page 12, you see the BIP sales, our own portfolio generating 7.3 million this quarter compared to 2.8. And as we mentioned before, it's primarily China, India, and the Middle East representing the big volumes there. But Europe is also rising, which is pleasing. So in the quarter, we had revenue growth of 157%, which is sizable, and we're very happy about. Turning to page 13, revenues, as Christian mentioned, were 33 million compared to 41 million last year. And what represents that growth? Well, BARD was down 5 million due to somewhat lower volume and currency effects. That was more or less compensated for by growing BIP sales. And then we had some currency effects. So the drop is essentially accounted for by the lack of new license revenue, which was 8.8 million last year. Let's move on to page 14. Just a quick reminder of our business. how it's built up. We have the license business on the one hand, the one we have with BDATE generating a recurring revenue. We have the Vigilance and Smartwise deals, which have accounted for one-off revenues in the past and which will over time generate royalties. And that's where we will also account for new license revenue coming in. And then the BIP revenue, which is our own product portfolio of urinary catheters, central venous catheters, and endotracheal tubes. So moving on to page 15, you can see the distribution of revenues between our different lines of business. The bulk of the revenue still comes from our license business with BD, and that was 22 million in this quarter compared to 27 last quarter, of which currency effect, we had a negative currency effect of this quarter of 1.6 million. And as I mentioned before, these revenues are stable, but they tend to vary and fluctuate between quarters, depending on how the orders for concentrate are placed. But as I also mentioned, the end user demand is stable, which we see in the royalties. But you could also see that our dependence on BARDA is decreasing, and that's very positive. With the growth of our own sales of our own portfolio, you could see that it now accounted for 22% of total sales in the quarter. Out of the 7.3 million that we accounted for as BIP revenue, 4 million had a cash flow effect. And let me just spend 1 minute on explaining that. In the past, we had a different business model. So sales to China have not generated cash in this quarter. We are nearing the end of the commitment we have to China, so future sales to China will also generate cash. So out of 7.3 million, 4 million had a positive cash effect. Other revenues were also up somewhat compared to last year. This is essentially EU grants and other research grants and currency effect. And the difference compared to last year is accounted for essentially by exchange rate differences. Then moving on to page 16, our financial situation. You all know that we secured a three-year financing with the Swedish bank SEB, which we're very pleased with, at the end of last year. We have utilized a small amount of the overdraft facility to balance some of the cash position that we had. At the end, we have cash on hand, but we've also drawn some on the overdraft facility temporarily. This is nothing alarming, as we see that we will generate a good cash flow in this quarter. You can see that this facility, which I mentioned, is on very attractive terms, and it is amortizing by 35 million and accelerating towards the end of the life of the facility. So a smaller amount of amortization this year, all in all 7.5 million. I think I'll stop there and hand over to Christian to conclude the call.
Thank you, Cecilia. So we turn then to the next page, 17, just refreshing our memory regarding our financial targets, and they are still standing rock solid. Looking at then the two parts, we still anticipate to grow 20% per annum for the five-year period that started 2015 with the base point of 118 million. If we just do the simple math, that would indicate that we by 2020 in 3 years' time should reach somewhere to 60 to 90 million SEK in revenue. And the second part of our financial target is the ambition that we strive for reaching a 30% EBITDA margin that will get us into some plus 80 million by the end of the term. Over time, we are, as any company, as we are growing, yes, of course, we are prioritizing growth, but we will also, when in due time possible, deliver a dividend according to our policy being 30 to 50% of net profits. So, summarizing, next page, number 18. Of course, we're not pleased. with this quarter. But we are happy with what we can actually affect ourselves, and that is the BIP sales. Yes, revenues are down. This is heavily affected by the license deal we did with Smart Wise last year, as we told you earlier. What makes us pleased and happy is that the part we can affect, being our BIP sales, is growing for the 10th consecutive quarter. We will continue to invest in this growth to reach the targets that we have set forth. The license revenue, yes, it is lower, but here we need, as Cecilia very correctly stated and went through, we need to isolate what is what here. Yes, it's a little bit lower from CR Bard. This is according to our experience, not that strange. In between the quarters, we can see some fluctuations. We are seeing some decrease due to currency effect. But when we look at the potential of the license business, I would like to draw your attention again to this matter and emphasize we are working on numerous prospects, and we are looking forward to come back to you within the near future with new deals in this area. Overall, Bactiguard, we are continuing to expand with a very tight cost control, and we will continue to invest in sales and marketing. The cash flow was very positively affected during Q2, as we have stated from yesterday. So let's say our cash position is more than satisfactory, and we are now resting on a very solid platform that is ready for growth, and we are focusing on reaching our financial targets. So turn to the last page and what I will leave you all with. Today, as yesterday, and as tomorrow, I jumped out of bed with a big smile on my face because I know the minute I leave the office tonight, we will have saved some 10 people from dying of these infections. This is what Bactiguard is all about. How do we do that? By using our products in the healthcare, we will lower the rate of infections. If we lower the rate of infections, patients will stay shorter time at the hospital, actually being able to produce more healthcare with the same resources. So that is a cost-saving aspect. And in the end, if we trigger less infections, we will take our responsible part in the global arena of lowering the use of antibiotics, lowering the spread of antimicrobial resistance, and that is stating new standards of care. By coincidence, that is the vision that is driving this company towards a very bright future. And with those words, I would like to thank you all for listening, and we are now ready for questions. So I hand over to you, operator.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad, and you will enter a queue. And we have a question from the line of Richard Koch of SEB. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hello there. My first question is on the orthopedic trauma implants. You say it's now in the final phase and that you expect to see mark fairly soon. How close in time is that, and how close in time can we expect to see some royalty income for Bactiguard?
Good morning, Richard. Thank you for your question. It's always difficult to say for sure, but we have been in regular contact with our partner and with the notified body managing the file. The last parts of the file have been completed, so we expect our best expectation is that it will be done in the second quarter, i.e., towards the end of this quarter. Now, meaning that we can then start production in the third quarter, and then it's quite a rapid between the time production is started and it can start generating royalties. Of course, it has to be sold to the market first, and then the following quarter, we will then generate royalties will be generated. So if we look at our best estimates, regulatory approval in Q2, start of production in Q3 and hopefully also some sales in Q3, meaning that we will start receiving royalties probably in Q4.
Okay, thanks for that. And on the next collaboration with Smartwise, could you elaborate a bit more on what AstraZeneca's part is in this collaboration?
This is an agreement between Smartwise and Procella and AstraZeneca, so I'm not the best person to answer that. But based on the information I have, their part of it is to invest in the development of both the cell therapy and the distribution method, which is done through the extrajudice catheter, which is coated with the Bactiguard coating.
And can you give any indication about the size of that investment?
Well, if you look at the press release that was distributed, the entire project as such can amount to a total of $320 million over a period of time. But I cannot say what the spread is between the two different businesses, the cell therapy and the distribution technology.
Okay. Looking at the cash flow, could you elaborate also then a bit on how, why is it really that we're seeing such negative cash flow now, and how and why is that going to improve?
Well, it's for different reasons. I mean, if you look at the cash flow from our operating activities, it was all more or less flat. Then we had major deliveries towards the end of the quarter. If you look at, for example, our sales to India, which was sizable, we take 25% up front, and then we have letters of credit extending 3 months. So that is pushing it. But once we get into regular flow, that will only be a balance. So you could say that it's initial build-up. It's also some relatively sizable delivery to the Middle East towards the end of the quarter, which will have some delay effect. So I see that there's a temporary build-up, because we started sales to a new market with certain business model. But as that gets into recurring sales, we should see roughly the same trend, but of course increasing then with the increased sales. We are also looking at ways to liquidate those receivables and have a better cash flow as those sales through various export credits, et cetera, to free up some cash as sales are increasing.
Is the cash flow generation different in these developing countries compared to, for example, Sweden? I mean, should we expect, if you continue to grow in India and China, et cetera, should we expect cash flow to sort of lag the sale of the revenue recognition that you have?
Not necessarily. I mean, when we start up a new market, we typically ask for advance payments. But in some cases, we do have letters of credit, which means that we will definitely be paid by some delay. But more or less, we have either cash payments or a one-month credit term. So this is something that we're working on regularly. So I don't think you should expect that we will continue building them up. We will work very proactively with finding good ways of generating the cash flow.
Okay. On your dividend policy, you say that over time you expect to pay 30-50%, but what does that mean really? By when do you expect to start paying dividends?
We haven't set any definite timeline, but what we do say is that we will now use the cash that we generate in investing into our business, expand our sales and marketing capacity to generate more sales. But of course, there has to be a balance. We will have to balance that off. It's not that we will start mega spending the money that we generate. So we will still be careful in increasing costs to, within the not too distant future, be able to pay dividends.
Rickard also here, Christian. We see this also as a very important gesture towards the shareholders, and that's also why we stress it. So the answer becomes as vague or as crystal clear, just as Cecilia said, but this is something that we find very important, and it has a lot of credibility towards our shareholders to honor that.
Sure. Okay. My last question is on the licensing income from BD. Could you talk about seeing the royalty level being okay and the concentrate sales lower? Could we have the split of that figures that you're referring to?
Well, I'm sure you would want it, but we do not do it in that way, unfortunately. But what I can say is that, just for your understanding, is that they place orders for concentrate ahead of delivery, and then we will invoice half of that immediately, and then the rest at delivery, and then we will receive royalties with one quarter delay. We apply slightly different models and different licensing deals, but essentially it is the same to arrive at a certain percentage of the value added to the end customer. But unfortunately, I can't give you the split, but I can give you some further information later.
Sure. But I understand that there is definitely lumpiness between the quarters and
Yeah.
it goes up and down. But can you confirm that there is absolutely no price erosion seen with the acquisition from BD, or that there's been any change in how they see this arrangement going forward?
Definitely. We have spoken to them and also seen in the numbers for the royalties that there's no indication of any end user sales decline or price erosion.
Okay, great. Thank you. That's all for me.
Thank you. May I remind everyone that if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypads. And there are no further questions at this time, so please go ahead, speakers.
So then, I would like to thank you all for listening in, and we will get right back to work, trying to fulfill our promises and deliverables for the second quarter, and we look forward to talk to you all very soon. So thank you all for listening in today, and have a great day.
This now concludes our call. Thank you for attending. Participants, you may disconnect your lines.